Hi, this is the guy that promises all the time to be shorter, and I'm going to try again because I've gotten ridiculous lately. But good news, I got another postcard today. A wonderful, beautiful photo, just lovely lady's hand in mine. It was to Mrs. Dorothy Jane Kozlowski. In the last 2 weeks, two different groups said to me, "We love you. I sure desire to hear that from you again from you. I love you, I love you, I love you, you're a man." This card will no longer fit on that bottom row. I have to make yet another row because I have so many of these. And it hurts. I mean, the timing of this one, especially considering the content and what happened today, is... Anyway, the image I plan to use today is... there was an article on the Babylon Bee. They did a satire piece and about a new head of the AMA, Joseph Mengele. And the important thing about Joseph Mengele is I have some relationship to him. His first name is Joseph. My middle name is Joseph. So, I mean, there's a little tie. But look at his face. If you look at his face and you look at my face, especially pictures of me younger, we look related. We really do look related. So I find that, I've always found that more than interesting. I brought that up before. And, you know, to be related or to have that, at least that look of a relationship. And there's a real possibility there is a relationship there. Obviously, he's German. He was... prolific at the time that my mom was young. So, yeah. And, you know, again, the similarity, facial features and whatnot. anyway, but at the same time, I mentioned when I was talking yesterday about Nicodemus, I also mentioned the guy. I was saying the guy of Arimathea and whatnot. John 19:38. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea. So, you know, another Joseph. And I'm thinking, you know, I should know that name. You know, again, because it's been my middle name basically all my life. But anyway, I just found that fascinating. Something simple. I'll leave you the link to a video. This, I think I've mentioned before, comedian J.P. Sears. He did a video about, I'm trying to remember the title of it now, but he did a video that I didn't know that I first heard about the subject literally at the farmer's market when a gentleman told me about this, last Thursday. Because I'm obviously very familiar with the issue. The title of his video was "Gender Reassignment is Very Lucrative," because Vanderbilt University has made a little bit of a splash in the news about some of the things that were said. And one of the things he did is a lot of things he does is, you know, sometimes it's very funny, sometimes it's okay, but he will tackle touchy subjects. And in this case, a vast majority of what he did was not just simply, it was the direct drop-in of the video from Vanderbilt University. So it exposed them far more than what you would see on the 6 o'clock news. One of the things he did a while back, he showed relative to whatever, I think it was something political or whatnot, and how the various news organizations, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News and whatnot, the view counts they were getting on this particular issue, whatever it was, and his. And he blew them away. Because, you know, often what's delivered via entertainment mechanisms garners a wider audience. Of course, there's the difference between the audience of those who want to laugh and the impact it has on them. The audience of those who are simply following the news just to know, you know, it's the Acts 17, just to know the latest. Or those who want to understand what's going on. There's a radical difference there. But anyway, what I found, because I have mentioned previously some of the things that I've done trying to contact some people involved, mostly in Canada, in reference to gender reassignment surgery, because it's something that is radically impacting the next generation. It's genocide. It really is genocide. But last thing, I think so. I questioned so much. I mentioned that I went to an institutional church on Sunday because of a variety of things that I expressed, and questioned, I mentioned what I felt was the emptiness of it and so forth, and wondered what is right. Because I do mention the Acts 20:20, and most importantly, James 1:27, to visit orphans and widows. Today, before I left, I had an opportunity to encourage a man. I took my hike, and I figured, okay, it's a 4-mile round trip for the farmer's market, and I'll add an extra 3 to get bananas. You know, a man has his needs. Because I think I only know of one source for organic bananas, so it's Publix. So I did the 3 extra miles. Got to the farmer's market. There was no one there. But while I was at Publix, I was able to greet, I mentioned there's at least one lady there that we're on a first name basis. And I got to greet her. That's basically all it is a greeting. But it's a greeting by name, which I think is vital. And then I went to the farmer's market. I met the guy who runs it. But the vendors weren't there because the one vendor who was reliable is in West Virginia for a family event. So there was no one there. It was kind of strange. So I didn't get any tomatoes. What a horror. But anyway, because those are good tomatoes. Once the supply of tomatoes stops from them, I don't bother with tomatoes in the winter, because the tomatoes even at Publix, they're red. And they taste red. They don't taste like a tomato. But I had a wonderful conversation there with one gentleman, which was good. But then the answer came about Sunday. Because the next stop was to walk home. It's the final 2 miles, and just before I get to the first of those 2 miles is the home of Miss Lillian. And I haven't seen her in over a week. And she was outside doing clipping some of her garden. And we talked. Not for 5 minutes. For 2 hours. And I thought about it on the way home. One of the issues I had was the depth of conversation Sunday was pathetic. The depth of conversation today with Miss Lillian was roughly that, but a little bit more of familiarity, because obviously I've met her 2 sons. I'm familiar with a lot of her family because she's told me about them. Her sister died in the last week. She was young, only 87, I think. and she is the 3 of them. Her sister, who is younger, and her brother, who is 16 years younger than her. So he's only 77. Because, again, she's 93. But what became so very clear to me, what I did is I invested in a person, a human being created in the image of God. And it was not that depth the joy that I get with talking with Chris. It was not some of the interactions I've even had with her son on some issues, her son, Dwayne. who did actually mention to her, he didn't see me at the race on Saturday because, you know, that's the other issue. But so I've been wondering, you know, literally asking the Lord, I felt an emptiness Sunday. I felt I wasted an hour. I didn't waste an hour today. I invested 2 hours in Miss Lillian. You know, I didn't walk away excited about all the depth of knowledge, saying the you know, it wasn't a gripping conversation. But James 1:27 was lived out today. I'd rather do that by far. Because, you know, again, I remember there was one moment that really, and I don't remember even the words now, I remember the expression. Talking with a gentleman, alone. He lived at daybreak when I was there. He lived alone, and he spent a whole lot of time just simply sitting on a bench watching cars go by. And often, almost to the point of most every day, I would go and spend a few minutes with him and simply converse. Again, this was not a deep conversation. Every once in a while, in that case, we got into some theology. And I don't remember what it was, but I remember saying something. My effort was to encourage him. And I watched his face light up as suddenly he realized he has value. Not because of him, not because of the magnificence of him, because he had some issues. And, you know, of the people there, this guy is not what I would call the cream of the crop. But sometimes you can see in somebody who has been completely abused and broken down, and the Lord has him. And I felt that about him. You know, I think he had a whole lot of issues, including a whole lot of morality issues. But you could tell there was an element in his character that you know, I could not give you specific words. But then the way he responded, the way his face lit up when I saw that, I was saying, you know, this is, to at least to me, gave me evidence. This is a foul, disgusting man that does foul, disgusting things, but the Lord has him. And I have the joy of encouraging him. Because I found with several other people, a number of other people who I've befriended and tried to do things for and whatnot, it's a very worldly response. With him, it wasn't. With Miss Lillian, it's not. And with some others. So I wondered, and right now, as I would suggest, maybe there's a good summary statement. Oh yeah, could be the Bible is true and the institutional church is a fraud. I do believe that was demonstrated to me today, that Sunday, very unfortunate, when I engage young people and get into serious theological discussions, several times at the farmer's market, several times simply walking the greenway. You know, there was Trey, there was Alex, there was the two gentlemen, Faison or something of that nature, and Meredith or something of that nature, from a long time ago. We had a long conversation. It was great. Into some serious theology. This is the one where we're talking about black-white issues, because it was a young white guy and a young black guy. And the culture within the high school and so forth. And it's these are the conversations I thirst for and I go after. And So, you know, at least in those, there's a little bit of depth. And with Miss Lillian, it's not, let's talk about whether or not the definite article is in Father, you know, Abba Father, or, you know, Abba the Father, or Father the Father, or whatever. That's not the conversation I have with her. Conversation I have with her is basically saying, you are worth my time. I can't do that to a crowd. That really is the thing that has sunk in with me. I cannot do that to a crowd. If I want a crowd to feel more effective, it's all about me. If I take on an individual, it's all about them. And I would suggest that's what a follower of Christ does. I would suggest that's why Jesus gave the model of investing in 12. I really think this is important. I want to set that model before my kids. You know, the institution will grab on to, you know, the Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the gathering together. And twist the meaning of that, you know, because the episynagoge, you know, it's called, so, you know, the obvious question, why don't you call your meeting place a synagogue? But anyway, I did not forsake the meeting together. I went and purposely sought out Miss Zillian. Because unlike other people, the Lord has set her in front of me and given me a relationship to her. I don't have a relationship with so many people here, and I don't need large numbers because I can't invest that well in large numbers. I can invest in a few. So I invest in them. There's that couple. There's those two people down the street. There's a little bit of relationship with my neighbors. There is Lynn and Garrett. Well, that's, you know, that's ended. That's obviously the great joy I have with Chris. There are numerous people I dialogue with that are far away. So, but we know each other by name. And we know a bit about each other. So that, I believe, well, it gets back to, again, one of my favorite words, sum parakaleo, mutually encourage. I cannot mutually encourage to a crowd. You know, if I feel them endorsing me with applause and whatnot, no, that's not the same thing. That's definitely not the same thing. The mutually encourage to draw near. I think, again, the idea, assume the parakaleo, to encourage, near call. You can't get a crowd of 1,000 people near to you. You can get a few. You can really physically encourage a few. And I want to encourage, you know, I do think we are called to encourage everyone who you know, wherever we meet somebody. Again, I met Jean at Publix today. And I purposely go out of my way to greet her. We don't know basically a thing about each other, but we know each other's name. And that's the bond. And you know, the thing that I think maybe draws a little bit more is when the mask thing was going, when, you know, there was policy there, she was the one who would wear the mask where it was strapped direct behind the head, and the strap on the side did not go behind the ears, but it was hung down. So she had it kind of just loose hanging in front of her. So she was wearing the mask, but she didn't have that tight bond around her face. And so she was playing by the rules, but fudging as much as she could. And I figured, yeah, I can respect that lady. So I think things like that. And, you know, we've had some pleasant conversations. But again, it's, you talk to somebody at the checkout register. But that's not a deep relationship. Miss Lillian far more is. But again, it's not deep theological stuff. It's simply the presence. I know you. When I talk with Chris, yeah, there's definitely a knowing each other. I know a lot about Chris's flaws. And I also know a lot of his wonderful character. He has been there for me when I was in less than optimal attitude. So you see both part and you call him a good friend. You call him a brother. I mean, he's probably the closest relationship I've ever had besides my wife. And there's obviously issues there. But Jesus does not call us to have good theology in order to stand before him redeemed. We are to have good theology. We're called to love. And the way you see love is not making sure you can talk about the definite article in Abba Father, but you be there. You be there for somebody. I want to encourage my kids to do that so very much. And remind them, the Bible is true, and the institutional church is a fraud. Acts 20:20, publicly, house to house, I think is a something that needs to sink in. I did publicly today at Publix, at the farmer's market, and I went directly to Miss Lillian's house. And then, of course, James 1:27. To visit orphans and widows. I visited a widow today. I have so much I want to do. Deep theology, serious technology, very serious issues and whatnot. But if I can't visit Miss Lillian, I am nothing. I want my kids to know that. I want them to live that. And I want to be short. My lady, my wife, you know, I sent you a card. I wanted to encourage you that on this card saying about these two groups of people saying we love you. When I would hear that from my wife, it's kind of like this picture. One of the things that I see in this picture, that I think is easy to see in this picture, is a closeness in the relationship. You don't see a struggle here. I think what this shows is a mutual joy, dependence, and love. And, you know, when Erica Lee showed her purity ring, my one and only lady, always has been, always will be. And as I've pointed out, Romans 7, 1 Corinthians 7, has this idea, they are one until death. Has it directly. This is very solid theology. My lady and my wife, I love you and I want you back.